receive because you have something to say to us. Hallelujah. You have something to give to us. And may we be in a position to hear it and or receive it. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, have you ever heard of the book of Jude? Glory to God. Amen. Well, I want to tell you, it's only one chapter, but it's jam-packed. Amen. The Holy Ghost has a lot to say. Has a lot to say to us from the book of Jude. Glory be to God. Amen. So go ahead and turn there once again. And we hadn't gotten any further than I believe the 11th verse, right? Amen. The 11th verse. And we've talked about Cain. And let me say this. We are to learn from what we hear. We are to make adjustments in our lives based on what we hear in God's word. Amen. Whatever you do, please don't take the word of God for granted. Amen. Take heed to what you hear. Hallelujah. So we talked about Cain. Cain had some issues. He had some issues with God. He didn't agree with the way God wanted to do things. And because of that, he had an issue with his brother also. So he murdered his brother. He killed his brother Abel. And then we talked about the prophet Balaam, the greedy prophet, who was willing to sell out for money. But he couldn't do it. Hallelujah. Thank God he couldn't. And then last week, and maybe possibly week before, I'm not sure, we talked about Korah. As a matter of fact, before I go any further, let's go ahead and read verse 11. I haven't read anything yet. New King James Bible. Notice what it says there at the beginning of the 11th verse. It says, woe to them. For they, and he's talking about the people. Well, I tell you what, let's do it this way. Let's pick up verse 5 and I'll read down to verse 11. It says, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this. Now, just because you've heard it before doesn't mean you don't need to hear it again. We have to be constantly reminded. Sometimes I like to make this comparison. You know, we're kind of like batteries. We leak. So we have to constantly be recharged. Recharged by hearing the word of God. Amen. So he says, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Verse 7, as Sodom and Gomorrah, those were two perverted cities. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against them a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But now look at verse 10. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Now, having read from verse 5 to 10, let's go back in now to verse 11. Woe to them. Look at somebody and say, that's not good. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now, if you're reading King James Bible, I think it says Korah, C-O-R-E, Korah. And so, last week, these are some things that I shared with you. I'll review a few of them, and then I'll go on into some other things as well. But one thing we found out about Korah, matter of fact, before we begin reading, go ahead and turn to Numbers, the book of Numbers, 16th chapter. Numbers 16. Now, in verse 1, it says, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and on the son Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. Now let me stop right there. If I mispronounce any of these names, chalk it up to my heart, not my head. My head, not my heart. Reverse that. All right. Glory to God. Amen. But now we see here Korah's problem was he was hungry. He had an appetite for power and for recognition. So he rebelled against Moses. Because verse 2 says, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. These were men that had some status in the community. Okay? But this fella, Korah, he wanted to be like Moses. He wanted to lead. He wanted to make some decisions. But who did he rise up against? Think about this for a moment. He rose up against one who was anointed by God and appointed by God. Say that again. He rose up against one that was anointed by God. In other words, he was called by God. He was appointed by God. And Moses had a track record. God called him to deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Moses himself stood before Pharaoh. He was able to stand before Pharaoh and be victorious. He was able to stand before Pharaoh's magicians and be victorious. Sometimes the devil will try you. Okay, so you think you're anointed. We can do that too. You throw your rod down and it become a serpent, snake. Pee. No problem. We can do that. Look, Mr. Pharaoh. Boom. Serpents. But can I tell you something? Doesn't matter how bad it gets, how bad it looks, always remember this. Are you ready for this? Some of you have heard it already. God will never, ever, ever, ever be upstaged by the devil. And said another way. God will never, ever, 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 ever be put to shame by the devil. God told Moses to cast your rod down. The magicians did the same thing. You know the story. What happened? You do know the story, right? Moses' snake ate up Pharaoh's magician's snakes. God came out on top in that situation. And that should be encouraging to you. When it seems to dark, the darkest, if you have your faith in God, if you are feeding on His Word, if you are blessing His name, it may seem dark, but you are headed for a brighter day. God's coming through for you. Can you say amen?
Amen?
God's coming through. See, that's the reason, excuse me, see, that's the reason we walk by faith and not by sight. Because you can look around you, brothers and sisters, and if you're not careful, you can become discouraged. Did you hear me? You can become discouraged. That's the reason you need to be very careful about who you allow to speak into your life. Folks have bad experiences that they want to share with you, tell you how bad things are. It's all right to give your testimony concerning where you were, but God delivered you out of your Egypt. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. These magicians, they wanted to be like Moses. They ain't no big deal, they thought. But guess what? They weren't called, not by God anyway. And they weren't anointed by God. And so it's a dangerous thing to come out against God's anointing. Sometimes if you don't understand some things, just pray. Take it to God. I said, take it to God. Amen. So we see here then that Korah decided, he and his group, that they were going to rebel against Moses. Now we won't go there today, but last week we went to the 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, where Samuel told Saul that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. God does not like rebellion. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Proverbs chapter 6. And I'm sure you've heard these verses before, but they are powerful. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. It says these, beginning at 16th verse, these things the Lord hates. Seven, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. God don't like pride. Pride says, I'm better than you are. Pride says, I'm all that and a bag of chips. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. You ever seen those folks? They're always trying to find something to get into. They hear about something going on somewhere. They're on their way. They want to get right in the middle of it. That's dangerous. But look at number 7. And one who does what? Y'all do have your Bibles, don't you? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19. It's on the screen. A false witness, one who speaks lies, and what's the seventh one? one who sows discord among brethren. One who sows discord among brethren. God does not like that. Amen. It's amazing. The Word of God tells us to love one another, don't it? More than once, more than twice. I haven't counted them, but I've. We are told constantly, brothers, sisters, love one another. You know, I don't have all the answers to everything. None of us do. But God decided, and you know God loves mankind. John 3:16 tells us that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves mankind. But you notice something about God. He did not create us all just alike. We're different. We're different skin colors. We're different hair grades, different heights. We're different. And that's intentional by God. Did you hear what I just said? That's intentional by God. If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, and if you are following Jesus Christ, really following Jesus Christ, you are going to love your brothers and sisters, regardless of what nationality they are, what race they are. You may be short. You didn't have anything to do with that. You just came here that way. You may be tall. You didn't have anything to do with that. You came here black, some of us. We found out, hey, we black. Some are white, Asian, and I could go on and on. None of us had anything to do with that. And some are biracial. They didn't have anything to do with it. They showed up and they were biracial. But you know what God demands of us is that we love each and every one of them. That we are, listen to me, we are to love our brothers and our sisters. Do I have your attention yet? It's easy to love someone just like you that does everything you want them to do, when you want them to do it, how you want them to do it, how long you want them to do it. In other words, they just try to please you in every way. It's easy to love them. But God tells us to love one another. And listen, it began in the body of Christ, but it's not limited to the body of Christ. Just like God so loved the world that he gave, we are to love the world also and take them Jesus. Let them know that Jesus loves them. Let them know that Jesus died for them. And we can't pick and choose. Say, well, you know what? I think I witnessed to this group, but I don't like that group over there. So, I'm not going to share Jesus with them. You have to give answer to God for that attitude. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. But if the devil can keep something stirred up, keeps discord among the brethren and the sisters all the time, then God cannot move in that group the way he wants to move. Notice what it says in the book of Acts. They were all, Tony knows it, they were all in the upper room, and they were all, what? In one accord. And guess what happened? The Holy Ghost came. They were in one accord, man. And not one accord in something evil, but one accord in the things of God. They were in that upper room waiting for the move of God, waiting for the Holy Ghost to come. Because Jesus promised them he was coming. They weren't up there fussing and fighting and carrying on. But they was waiting in anticipation. Oh, glory be to God. Are you hearing me this evening? I'll tell anybody, if you want a move of God, work on your love walk. Work on your love walk. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And of course, we see that Korah gathered a group together. This is again in verse 2, who agreed with him. They were in unity, but it wasn't God. God wasn't in it. Korah said, and some of this we covered last week. I just want to go over it again with you this evening. Korah said, hey, look, we're just as anointed as Moses is. God's anointed us just like he anointed Moses. How many of you know God will anoint you if you yield to him, and he will use you, but it may not be the same way that he used another brother or sister. Hallelujah. You know, I know Brother Ken, he's a blessing to me, and I've known him a long time, and he's been a blessing a long time. But God uses him. He just lets him know things. I'll just say it that way. Amen. And God reveals things to this brother. Now he speaks to all of us. Am I right? But he don't speak to everybody the same way he speaks to this brother, or the same way he used this brother. Does that mean that the rest of us are any less? Absolutely not. Where we want to be is right where God wants us, doing what God wants us to do. Moses is the man anointed by God to lead the church in the wilderness. Let the man do his job and you join in. and say, Lord, I'm here to do my part. And not be jealous of what you are doing in his life. Not being jealous in how you use him. Lord, I just want to be where you want me. The Apostle Paul brought that out. He talked in the book of Corinthians about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and so forth. But he also pointed out that the body of Christ is made up differently. There are hands, feet, eyes, ears, noses, knees, and on, but guess what? All of us are part of the body. All of us are part of the body. If you cut your foot off, it's going to affect the whole body. It's going to affect the whole body. You may not be the head, you may not be up top, but if you're not doing your part, it's going to affect the entire body. Learn to appreciate what God has given you. Learn to cherish what God has given you. And be thankful for what he's given your brothers or your sisters. And let's work together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get the job done. Hallelujah. Be who you are. All right, let me move on. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. What time is it? Okay. So they rebelled against Moses, verse 10 and 11. Of Numbers 16. They rebelled against Moses. You know what happened to them later on? I'll tell you. Up and swallowed them. Ooh. Now, that would wake me up if I was dozing and the earth opened up and swallowed. Notice, didn't swallow Moses or Aaron, any of them. It swallowed up the rebels. Swallowed up the rebels. Those that were rebelling. But you know something? Satan did the same thing, didn't he? Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, I'll pick it up at verse 12. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Let me start over. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. How many of you know Satan was kicked out of heaven? He was in a good place. He was in a good place, but he wasn't satisfied in his good place. Verse 13, and this is the reason. For you have said in your heart, notice how this reads. It says, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Whoa. Now here's Lucifer, archangel. Very powerful angel. But evil entered his heart. Something called pride and jealousy. Pride and jealousy. Please listen to this as I read it again. Let's go back to verse 13. For you have said in your heart, I will. Notice that word, I. It's all about him. Don't let things be all about you. He said, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt whose throne? My throne above the stars of God. Not talking about giving any praise or glory to God. It was all about him. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. Notice I will again. I will. On the furthest sides of the north. Here we go again, verse 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will. Whoa. I will be like the Most High. That got him in trouble. Now look at verse 15. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol. King James Version says hell. To the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble? Who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? Wow. Satan led a rebellion against God. And he, just like Korah, fell. I'm getting ready to close, but I want, go with me to the book of Luke. Find my place here. Luke chapter 10. Luke 10. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10. Well, matter of fact, before I read that, I want to back up. I was going to read you another verse, but let's look at verse 1, the 10th chapter. It says, "And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go." Okay? Now, there's some things that happened after this, but I'm going to skip that. Let's skip down to verse 17. You can read the rest of that later on. "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Now, this is what I was going to read to you. "And he said to them," this is Jesus, "Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." He went on to say, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." But I love verse 20. "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because" what? "Your names are written in heaven." Hallelujah. Jesus says, "I saw Satan fall. I saw him fall." That was before he went to the cross. See, even in that fallen state, the devils were still subject to them in the name of Jesus. So think about it, folks. If they were subject to them before his death, burial, and resurrection, what about now? Don't be hesitant to use the name of Jesus, because the devil does not sit on the throne that he used to sit on. He's been cast down. He's been cast out. Amen. He is a defeated foe. Thank God for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I said, thank God for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In heaven, in earth, and under the earth. Glory be to God. So folks, let's don't pick up, let me say it this way, let's don't be like Korah and allow that rebellious spirit to influence us, where it's all about me. I want, I want, I want, I want, I, you know, blah, 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 me, 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 me. If, let me tell you something. If God wants you in a certain place, if you will stay humble, walk in love, spend time with God, that door will open at the proper time. Jesus himself said, "I open doors that no man can close. And I close doors that no man can open." So don't stress out. Don't allow yourself to be stressed, depressed. God knows where you are. And God knows how to get you to the place He wants to get you. All we have to do is cooperate with Him. And I'm closing, but I want to say this. It was Jesus who told the disciples, let's go over to the other side, didn't He? You still in here? I said it was Jesus who told the disciples, let's go over to the other side. You think He was joking? No, He wasn't joking. Let's go to the other side. So get with it, guys. And what did He do? Took a nap. But just because Jesus gave the orders did not mean it was going to be smooth sailing. There was resistance. You hear me? There was resistance. The disciples became afraid and some put angry because Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. They were upset at Him. Lord, are You going to let us perish out here? I mean, You sleeping and the boat is taking on, the ship is taking on water. Don't You care? Well, Jesus didn't wake up. The Bible doesn't say He woke up and hugged each and every one of them and patted them on the head and said, thank You for waking me up in time before the boat sunk. No. Jesus said, ye of little faith. In other words, you hadn't been listening when I've been teaching you. You didn't really get it when I said, let's go to the other side. You got it in your head, but it never entered your heart. Not a one stood up and said, brothers, listen. The Lord said, let's go to the other side. Now, it's in my heart. I believe His word. We going to the other side. So let's stand strong. But Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. You know the rest of the story. He rebuked the wind, and it ceased. They got to the other side. But that tells me that those disciples, based on the command they got from Jesus, the living word, they too could have rebuked that storm and got to the other side. Storm, I command you to cease. The Lord said, we're going to the other side. And we're going. Praise God. Well, I was supposed to be closing, wasn't I, y'all? Oh, thank You, Father. Lift your hands and give God praise right now. Will You do that? Oh, dear Lord.